On the show today, late bloomers. Ideas about thriving throughout our lives, including our later years. Ashton.
Yes.
May I ask you how old you are?
Of course.
Some people get very offended by that question.
Well, that's sort of the heart of the matter. Why should we be offended at saying how old we are? I just turned 70.
I don't know whether, like, so I'm of an age when I remember when it was impolite to ask a lady how old they were.
Well, and there you have hit also on the aspect that aging is gendered and that women are doubly penalized for not only being older, but being an older woman. I just had a comment on Facebook where a woman said she liked everything about the article except the fact that the 70-year-old man who was being interviewed was described as old. And I said, well, by what measure is 70 not old? It happens to be my age as well, and there is a lot more road behind us than ahead. And she said, by my measure, I don't like the word.
Oh.
In an ageist culture, age is derogatory. It should be neutral.
This is Ashton Applewhite.
I am an anti-ageism activist and the author of This Chair Rocks, a manifesto against ageism.
But it took Ashton a long time to get to this point.
These are new ideas to most of us. We live in a culture that barrages us with negative messages about how awful it's going to be to get old, and we all internalize those messages. They become part of our identity unless we stop to challenge them.
Okay, I want to start with how you got into thinking and writing about the way we treat people of a certain age. Was it
old people? Go ahead, say
okay,
it.
Old people, yes. How did it happen?
There's not a meet cute moment. I was in my mid 50s and I realized that this getting old thing was happening to me and I was really apprehensive about it. And being a bull by the horns kind of person, I started looking into longevity and talking to older people. It's not that our apprehensions about aging are without basis, but our fears are way out of proportion to reality.
Ashton Applewhite continues from the TED stage.
What's one thing that every person in this room is going to become? Older. And most of us are scared stiff at the prospect. I used to feel the same way. What was I most worried about? Ending up drooling in some grim institutional hallway. And then I learned that only 4% of older Americans are living in nursing homes, and the percentage is dropping. What else was I worried about? Dementia. Turns out that most of us can think just fine to the end. Dementia rates are dropping too. The real epidemic is anxiety over memory loss. I also figured that old people were depressed because they were old and they were going to die soon. It turns out that the longer people live, the less they fear dying, and that people are happiest at the beginnings and the ends of their lives. It's called the U-curve of happiness, and it's been borne out by dozens of studies around the world. You don't have to be a Buddhist.
So you go on this mission to just learn more about aging, and you discover that there's actually a lot less to worry about than maybe many of us assume, even though, you know, not to diminish it, yeah, getting older does have its challenges.
Yeah. There are legitimate and real reasons to worry about getting older, getting sick, running out of money, ending up alone. But, you know, only two bad things about aging are inevitable. One is that people you've known all your life are going to die. And the other is that some part of your body is going to fall apart. Carl Pillemer at Cornell interviewed, I think, over 1,000 older people. What advice did they have for younger people? And they said, don't worry so much. And they said, especially, don't worry so much about getting older. People with more accurate attitudes towards aging live longer, an average of 7.5 years longer. We walk faster. And my favorite study shows that people who don't equate aging with disease and decline are less likely to develop Alzheimer's, even if they have the gene that predisposes them to the disease.
Wow.
So I started feeling a lot better about getting older, and I started obsessing about why so few people know these things. The reason is ageism. We experience it anytime someone assumes we're too old for something, instead of finding out who we are and what we're capable of, or too young. Ageism cuts both ways. All prejudice relies on othering, seeing a group of people as other than ourselves, other race, other religion, other nationality. The strange thing about ageism, that other is us. Ageism feeds on denial, our reluctance to acknowledge that we are going to become that older person. It's denial when we try to pass for younger, or when we believe in anti-aging products, or when we feel like our bodies are betraying us simply because they are changing. The sooner we get off this hamster wheel of age denial, the better off we are. Older people can be the most ageist of all because we've had a lifetime to internalize these messages and we've never thought to challenge them. I had to acknowledge it and stop colluding. Senior moment quips, for example, I stopped making them when it dawned on me that when I lost the car keys in high school, I didn't call it a junior moment. Like I stopped blaming my sore knee on being 64. My other knee doesn't hurt, and it's just as old. We are all worried about some aspect of getting older. But when labels are hard to read, or there's no handrail, or we can't open the damn jar, we blame ourselves instead of the ageism that makes those natural transitions shameful and the discrimination that makes those barriers acceptable.
In a minute, Ashton Applewhite on what being a late bloomer can look like for an older person. On the show today, late bloomers. I'm Anoush Zamarodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. On the show today, late bloomers. And we were just hearing from Ashton Applewhite. She is a writer and anti-ageism activist who says that age isn't the barrier that we often think it is, which matters even more because, on the whole, we are living longer.
Population aging is a permanent, global, demographic trend. In your and my lifetime, 4 and 5 living generations are becoming commonplace. We have longer to grow up. We have longer to learn what we learn. So the whole idea of being a late bloomer, we have to rethink what time frame we attach that to. People are going to cycle in and out of careers and in and out of being trained to learn totally new things. The entire landscape of work is being transformed. I mean, even the word retire, I have to put in quotes. I started a website called Old School, the Old School Anti-Ageism Clearinghouse, and we host a weekly meetup. Anyone can show up, and one of our regulars has worked for 38 years at a main American corporation, and he's stepping down. But he's not, you know, he's retiring from employment at that company, but he's not retiring from work. Is he a late bloomer? He may go on to write symphonies. He may go on to write a novel. He may go on to sit in his deck chair. You know, it's so American to think you have to keep on producing, this whole pretty toxic notion that you have to, you know, keeping busy. You know, it's okay to be idle also, if you can afford it and if it is okay for you. You know, sooner or later, we got to slow down.
I want to ask you what you know, this is what I hear a lot of worry from younger people right now, which is that this population that is older now probably is the last one that have had a pension that is able to draw Social Security at the same time, that maybe owns homes as well as savings. I mean, so what is... Maybe, you know, older people can thrive, but maybe this is just not going to be possible for future generations financially, and they're going to be living longer.
No question. I mean, I was born in 1952 into an unprecedented 60 years of economic prosperity and peace. I was incredibly lucky. And yes, my dad worked for the same company his whole life and retired with a pension. Those things are no longer available to younger people who have to change jobs and cannot expect to build a career in that same way. And youngers have every reason to resent my demographic good fortune, but it doesn't make me the enemy. And we need to work together, old and young, united, to try and reduce inequity and produce a fairer, more equitable landscape for people of all ages in the workplace and everywhere else.
Do you have a role model right now for aging well? Is there someone who you think of who you think, you know what, that's who I want to be?
I would say I learned different things from different people. I adopted a phrase that I heard from a geriatrician named Joanne Lynn, who called herself an old person in training. I had no idea how important the phrase would become to me, but I was like, I think that's what I have become. And the idea there is simply to form an imaginative, hypothetical connection to the future older you. And she can be as far away, a distant speck on the horizon, as far away as you need her to be. But if we realize, like, oh, with luck, I'm going to get old, it's easier not to get on that hamster wheel of age denial. I don't want to think about it. It's scary. And to look at the older people around you, who, if you look around you, we're all over the place, and most of us are enjoying our lives. You know, most of them, there's things about aging none of us like, but no one wants to die young, you know?
You're reminding me of, like, a song by Michelle Schacht.
When I grow up, I wanna be an old woman.
Her saying that, I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I want to be an old woman too. There was no positive, there was no negative. It was just a fact that I would like to have a long life. And I think that's kind of what I hear you saying is, like, can we stop having opinions about it? It's gonna happen. So deal with it and make the most of it.
Yeah. You are entitled to your opinions. You are entitled to your fears. You're entitled to feel any way about it that suits you. And you're going to feel different about it on Tuesday than you do on Friday. Being young is hard. Being old is hard, too. Life is hard, especially, you know, in a heartless global economy where we don't have enough social supports. The leaps we're able to make, the risks we're able to take, the compromises we have to make are unique for each of us. I would never say, here's how to do it. But the most important thing we can each do is to look at our own attitudes towards age and aging. Think about how you use the words old and young, how you feel when someone, you know, calls you young lady or fails to call you young lady or cards you or doesn't card you. The zillions of ways in which age crops up in daily life, in the media, you name it. And think about your response. Think about where that message comes from and what purpose it serves.
That's Ashton Applewhite. She is the author of This Chair Rocks, a manifesto against ageism. You can see her full talk at TED.com.